listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo Lobo. In today's episode, I wanted to do a solo podcast to discuss snoring and sleep apnea in children. Sometimes our children snore, especially after a cold, nasal congestion, or if they have allergies. But if we notice that snoring continues after the acute episode has subsided, we may want to seek professional help. The upper airway is really important for normal breathing, swallowing, and speech. Snoring can happen when there's a vibration of the soft palate and the walls of the throat, known as the pharynx. The airway can also become partially or completely blocked due to the relaxation of the throat muscles, which results in interruptions in breathing, and we call this sleep apnea. Waking up from sleep can happen during apneas when the brain senses that the oxygen in the body is low. You can live up to 40 days without food, about 7 days without water, but only a few minutes without oxygen. Children with sleep apnea may present with symptoms such as snoring, gasping for air, or witness pauses in breathing during sleep, bedwetting, and restless sleep. In some cases, children may not snore, but they might have daytime sleepiness, difficulty paying attention in school, learning problems, behavioral problems, hyperactivity, difficulty concentrating, and failure to grow and develop normally. In children, obesity might be a risk factor for sleep apnea, and additional risk factors might include family history of obstructive sleep apnea, Down syndrome, sickle cell disease, neuromuscular disease, and cerebral palsy. At night, parents might find their children in unusual sleep positions, or parents may notice that they hyperextend the neck while sleeping in the car. But sometimes, obstructive sleep apnea in children may go unrecognized, because although they might have heavy breathing or interruption of breathing, if a child sleeps in a separate bedroom from the adults, they might not notice this is happening. So I want to talk for a minute about how children can be screened for sleep disorders. The gold standard test is called the polysomnography test. This is an overnight sleep study that uses sensors on the body to record brainwave activity, heart rate, muscle movement, and also uses a microphone and video to record snoring sounds. Sometimes, if this test is unavailable, doctors may use oximetry, which records oxygen levels, but this test sometimes may not quite fully reveal the problem. So beyond the gold standard test, the sleep study, a complete clinical evaluation may reveal additional problems worth identifying and possibly correcting. And I'm going to go ahead and describe a couple of these next. Let's talk for a second about mouth breathing. There can be clues that our child is a mouth breather. These include noticing that your child is keeping their mouth slightly open most of the time, or noticing that their lips are cracked, and you may notice dark circles around their eyes. Mouth breathing can be an indication of sleep disorder breathing too. Nasal breathing, on the other hand, ensures that we have a healthy respiratory system by warming the air, by humidifying and filtering the incoming air, and by transporting a compound called nitric oxide to the lungs and the blood. A mouth breather may have a blockage of the nasal cavities. An ear, nose, and throat doctor can help us figure out whether this is the case. In some cases, the mouth breathing may not be related to a blockage, but more out of habit due to allergies. If the child is a mouth breather, steroid medications inserted into the nose might help ease the apnea symptoms in mild cases of obstructive sleep apnea. If the child has allergies, medications like antihistamines might help relieve the symptoms too. Over time, there can be an increase in airway collapsibility as a result of enlargement of the adenoids and tonsils. So removal of the tonsils and adenoids by an ear, nose, and throat doctor may improve sleep apnea in moderate to severe cases when the tonsils and the adenoids are enlarged and are causing the blockage of air. In children, this is the most important cause of obstructive sleep apnea. But there are causes of sleep apnea that might be identified through a thorough evaluation. So I want to mention two structures, the upper and the lower frenum. This was discussed in a previous Dental Chat podcast when I interviewed my colleague, Dr. Richard Baxter, who wrote a book called Tongue Tied. So what is a frenum? So a frenum is a thin band of fibrous tissue in the mouth. It is that little tissue that when you look in a mirror under the tongue, you see this band that is connecting the tongue to the floor of the mouth. That's the lower frenum. But there's also an upper frenum. So this one connects the upper gum to the upper lip. So you can see this by rolling up your upper lip. Sometimes these tissues can create functional abnormalities. For example, if the frenum that is located under the tongue is shortened, it can restrict the tongue movement. That may cause some speech difficulties and swallowing problems. A short frenum has also been linked to sleep apnea, and it's thought that it can potentially impact the normal function and development of the face and the mouth during childhood development. We should talk about the role of the pediatric dentist and the orthodontist. We look at the child at early stages of growth and development. These specialists can detect misalignment of teeth. We look for crossbites, which is when the upper teeth fit inside the lower teeth, instead of the outside, which is normally the case. An anterior crossbite is when the top teeth land behind the front lower teeth. An anterior open bite is when the back teeth are together, but the front teeth don't overlap. And a posterior open bite is when the front teeth meet, but the back teeth don't. We also evaluate for crowding, when there is insufficient space for the teeth, as a result of the teeth being too large or the jaws being too small. All of these types of dental bite problems cause narrowing of the airway. Oral appliances may be recommended if these problems are detected. These oral appliances may help expand the roof of the mouth, which we refer to as the palate. By expanding the palate, we're expanding the nasal passages too. Some devices can also move your child's bottom jaw and tongue forward to keep your child's upper airway open. The best treatment is going to depend on the severity of the clinical symptoms, the child's age, the results of the sleep test, and also the overall health of the child. A multidisciplinary team and collaboration between multi-specialties, including a pediatrician, a sleep medicine specialist, ear and nose and throat doctor, pediatric dentist, orthodontist, myofunctional therapist, and speech pathologist may prevent serious consequences that may occur if obstructive sleep apnea is left untreated. Bottom line, if you're concerned about any of the topics discussed today, please ask your child's doctor to evaluate your child for sleep apnea. Thanks for listening.
Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchadpodcast.com or email me at dentalchadpodcast@gmail.com. Disclaimer. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions.